Welcome. You're listening to the RPC Sermons podcast. You can join us for virtual worship every Sunday at roswellpres.org. Thanks for listening.
This week, we are continuing our sermon series, This Is My Story. And each week, one of the pastors is sharing their story of faith and how they came to be to where they're at this point in their time, in their life. And last week, we got to hear a powerful testimony from Scott. We're so grateful that he shared it. And you might notice up here, I don't know if it's hard for you to tell which one is me. One of these things is not like the other, but Scott and I both have bow ties on. I will tell you, that was preschool. I did not go to a preschool that made you wear a uniform. My mother just dressed me like that. But I cannot imagine a more perfect sermon series, because being Confirmation Sunday, this is where we're celebrating the faith journeys of our confirmands and how God is working in their lives. So it is truly a special day to be together, to reflect on God's word, to celebrate our confirmands' faith journeys, and to look at where God has been at work and where God will continue to be at work and lead us in our own faith journey. Today, we're going to take a look at a small portion of the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. But before we read, let us go to God in prayer. Let's pray. Holy God, your word is truly a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We pray that you would give us grace to receive your truth in both faith and love, and strength and courage to follow on the path that you set before us through your son, Jesus. Amen. So again, this is Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Listen now for the word of the Lord. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I want to look first at the context surrounding this scripture so that you can get a really good idea of what's been happening and leading up into to this point where Jesus is speaking. So first, Jesus has gone up on a mountainside overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and his disciples were with him, but there were also lots of other people gathered because Jesus has been going around teaching and performing miracles. And so news has spread. So people from all over, from Jerusalem to Judea and even beyond the Jordan, came. Many of these people were sick and afflicted. They were looking for a miracle. And what I love about this is that immediately before we even get to what Jesus teaches, we see the nature of God through Jesus' actions. He doesn't see these crowds of sick and afflicted people and say to his disciples, his right-hand folks, his best friends, hey, there's all these people here. Let's head to somewhere out of the way, quiet, without all of these needy and afflicted people. Let's go to a place where I can teach you these important lessons in private. No, Jesus sees these crowds of people, and he goes to a place where they could all see him and all hear him. So we know that this teaching is not just for his closest disciples, but for all people who are hearers of Jesus' word and following Jesus. Now, we've jumped in here at verse 13, but we've missed something else before this. We've missed the Beatitudes. And Beatitude is a word for like a supreme blessing. So Jesus has just gone through this list of blessings for people. And most of those blessings have actually been in the third person, like just the general people. But in verses 11 and 12, he switches to the second person. And that's where we pick up in verse 13. He's addressing the people that he's talking to. And so Jesus starts with two metaphors, as we just heard. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So here we have Jesus saying to his followers, you're salt of the earth, you're light of the world. And I find this so interesting because he's saying you, my close friends, the disciples, you, the people that I don't know, you, the people who are sick, you, the people who are afflicted, you, the people from Galilee, you, the people from Jerusalem, you, the men, you, the women, you, the children, you, all you who are following me and listening to me, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. And I also want us to pay attention here because he says, you are, not you will be, or not you maybe have some potential to be the salt and the light. He says, you are. And so for us too, as followers of Jesus, people that have needs and afflictions, we're hearers of this sermon. And so I want to remind you that as we reflect on this passage, know that Jesus is talking to you too. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And I want to take a closer look at this metaphor and the properties of salt and light and what Jesus might be getting at here. So we know that salt is a preservative. Salt brings about goodness. It makes bland things taste good. It adds flavor. I know you have been in your kitchen and you have handed somebody a spoonful of something and said, does this mean more salt? And in fact, salt not only adds flavor, but it enhances other flavors if it's added in the right proportion, brightening them, sharpening them. It's a small thing of very great value. And in the same way, light can be a small thing of great value. We know that there's lots of different properties of light, but given the way it's used in this passage, it's clearly talking about illumination. When the sun goes down, even a small lamp can go a long way. It allows you to see more clearly, find things that might be hidden or go unnoticed. So what's the lesson here? What's Jesus teaching? In several years, Pope Francis put it in a way that I really appreciate. He said, Christians must be salt and light, but never self-serving. Salt must add flavor and light must illuminate the other. I love the way he phrases that because we could potentially think that this passage elevates us, thinking of ourselves as these really valuable commodities. We're salt and we're light. We're really special. And you are very special. You are special. But what he's getting at here is that the kingdom of God has joined with us here on earth. It's because of Jesus that we're salt and light. It's because of Jesus that we've been made worthy. And as a natural response to Jesus' love and grace and forgiveness so freely given to us, we live as children of the light. Living as God created us to be in God's image, enhancing the world through the way we live. Being a light that points to Christ and brings about glory to God. And that's what verse 16 ends with. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. We are to let our light shine not for ourselves to be in the spotlight, but to be a light that points to Christ and brings glory to God. And we're not called to do this alone. First, God is very much with us. And God has given us each unique qualities and gifts. It would be silly to be given a gift and not use it. And our scripture really points out how absurd that is. No one lights a lamp just to put a basket over it. Now, if you are not thinking about the song, This Little Light of Mine, I don't know what you're thinking about. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And you know the next part. Hide it under a bushel. No. Oh, that's so good. That's like as close as we're going to get to an amen in a Presbyterian church. I'm very excited. Right, but no. Lighting a lamp and putting it under a bushel or a basket would be ridiculous and quite frankly dangerous, because if we do that, we are squandering the life that God has for us. But here is where I want to be really honest with you. I have had several moments in my life where I have been so scared to let my light shine, tempted to hide it, and sometimes hiding it. And I know that that might seem really crazy, because I'm standing up here as a pastor, living out my call, hopefully, shining light to reflect the light and love of Christ. But I'm going to get to those areas where I've been scared. And some of you know my story, but I'm going to give you a little background first. I was born in Macon, Georgia, to two wonderful parents. We first lived with my grandparents, and then we moved to the suburbs of Atlanta. And I had an idyllic childhood. Some of my favorite memories are playing with the neighbors, climbing trees, especially the magnolia tree in our front yard, playing pink pig and red rooster with my little brother, don't ask, going to Ryan's Steakhouse with my granny for the all-you-can-eat buffet. Y'all, she would come to town, and she would stay in my bedroom because I had an extra twin bed. And she also grew up during the Depression, so, I mean, we got our money's worth, and we would just lay in my twin beds and not move for hours after that. But I went to visit my grandparents, and I played school, and I had dance classes. I drank the Kool-Aid and ate the healthy, well-balanced meals of Beanie Weenies. And I listened to my dad play his bass guitar on Saturday mornings, which grew my love for classic rock. I was swimming in the summers, later competitively, bossing my little brother and my little sister around. I could go on, but we had a home filled with love. And we went to church. And the first church that I remember attending was Ray Thomas Memorial Presbyterian Church. And then later, in elementary school, late elementary school, we moved right here to the Roswell Presbyterian Church. The fact that I am still able to serve in my church home surprises me, but it's not lost on me either what a gift and a privilege this is to be here and to serve you, my church family, who raised me. And the fact that I am preaching this morning on Confirmation Sunday in the church that I was confirmed in makes it that much more special. It is an incredible honor to get to encourage future generations to let their light shine. And I remember my own confirmation mentor, Mel England, who had a great impact on my life. And it makes my heart swell to know that we have a new generation of mentors that are pouring into the lives of our youth and making more of a difference in their lives than they can probably even imagine. And as I reflect on my life and my faith journey, it has been beautiful. But like every journey, there are highs and lows and elevations all in between. I want to shine my light, but there have been a lot of moments that I've struggled to shine. And I'm going to share four different issues with you today. And you don't have to tell me, but I imagine that I am not alone in these struggles. The first issue that tempted me to hide my light is comparison. I have struggled with comparison since I was little. I told you that I had a little brother and a little sister, and I was the oldest. But let me tell you, I was definitely not the most gifted and talented one in our home. My brother was an exceptional athlete, breaking wrestling records, getting college scholarships. And my sister is brilliant, y'all. She's brilliant. She made like one B at Georgia Tech, the rest A's. I wasn't like them. I mean, I did good in school. I did okay in school, and I was fine athletically, but I was average, and I certainly didn't feel like I measured up to who they were. And I don't think it stopped with my brother and sister. I would constantly compare myself with others and their gifts, which made me feel less than and less than eager to be bold in my faith and in my life. People say that comparison is the thief of joy, and I believe that that's true. But here's what I have to remind myself of, is not one of us is created to be like another. On purpose, God created us to be individuals and unique, so that we can all be used to point to God's love and light in our own ways. And we're reminded of that in Scripture over and over again. God used all different kinds of people with their gifts and their flaws, people from the least of these to the greatest leaders in the land. God can use all of us. We're not meant to compare ourselves to others. And so I've had to remember that when I find myself comparing my life or my gifts with others. The second issue that caused me to hide my light is fear. Well, fear. There have been many times in my life that I have been scared. While I did have such a wonderful childhood, no family is exempt from trials. From cancer to mental illness to death to job unknowns, there are places where I have been really terrified. And I've known in my mind that I can trust God, but it's really hard sometimes to feel that in your heart when you don't understand. It's hard to be faithful when you're struggling to understand why things are happening in your own life or to those who you love. And when nothing feels certain, I can tell you there have been many times where I have cried out, literally cried out, and said, God, why? Why is this happening? Why can't you just fix this? And I don't understand. But then I am reminded, and I have to remind myself over and over, that we have a God that is with us and that does understand us. Jesus went to a cross. He suffered even death. So not only is he with us, but he feels what we feel, and he's never going to leave us or forsake us. I love that Elizabeth shared that verse that reminded us of that this morning. So we know that following Jesus doesn't mean that we're not going to have these challenges and these trials and these deep heartaches, but we do know that God understands us and he is with us. The third issue that I have struggled with is shame. Okay. One particular time, shame was almost debilitating. I had a broken relationship. You see, I had dated the same boy in college for almost 5 years, and we had been engaged for 10 months. 2 weeks before our wedding, when thousands of dollars had been spent, the wedding was called off. Now, I wasn't married, but in my mind, this was my life partner. This is who I had been committed to. I felt like I failed before I even started. And with every phone call to cancel things and every gift returned, the feeling of shame built. I locked myself in my apartment and I had zero plans to leave. How could I face my family who spent all this money and my friends who'd thrown all these parties and my students that I was teaching who'd shared in this excitement? But God put people in my life to help me out of the hole that I was in. My parents showed up on my doorstep with spaghetti and hugs. My friends made me get out of the house. They took me to Whitewater, which I still don't understand. One of my students asked me who she should beat up. Don't worry, I did not let her do that. But it was the reminder that this broken relationship didn't define me. And God used people in my life to remind me of that. Because we're not called to do this alone. The fourth issue is doubt. I told you, we went to church growing up, so I knew about God from a young age. And much like Elizabeth shared this morning, though, my relationship really started to grow and I really started to have a personal relationship about that middle school time. And there are two profound places that my faith grew. One was a summer camp, just like Elizabeth, with my childhood best friend, Amy Catherine. She invited me to Camp Glisten, and it was an incredibly formational place in my faith. And the second was, like Scott shared last week, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, FCA. And both of these experiences continued through high school. At the age of 17, I remember feeling a distinct call to ministry to be a pastor. But that was really weird because pastors are all old men. So that couldn't be me. Fast forward, I was teaching middle school and I loved it. It was fulfilling, but I couldn't shake this feeling that I was supposed to pursue this thing of being a pastor and going to seminary. Now, I didn't know the first thing about the process of seminary or being a pastor, and I will tell you, thank goodness, because if I had known, I would not have done it. And I thought, too, about my pastor at the time, Lane, who was a spiritual giant in my life, and I thought to myself, who am I to even think I can put myself in a category remotely close to him? But I found myself in his office, explaining this weird feeling that I couldn't shake. And he looked at me and he said, Carrie, this is what we call a call. And he said I would make a wonderful pastor. And I thought he was full of it. But his belief in me helped me to push down the doubt and listen to God. And unbeknownst to me, immediately following the meeting, he called his alma mater, Columbia Seminary, and let them know that I'd be applying. I am forever grateful for his honest and frank conversation with me, because if I had leaned into doubt, I would have failed at following God's call on my life. If I had grabbed hold to shame, I wouldn't have been open to love again and missed out on the beautiful life that I have with my husband and children. If I had let fear control me, I would have been frozen. If comparison had the last word, I would have spent my life watching others live out their gifts and squandered my own. Jesus came to save us all, so we can lay our thoughts of comparison and shame and fear and doubt at his feet and know that he calls us worthy and that we can live into the abundant life that he has for us, not believing the lies that we tell ourselves, or that the world tells us, or that Satan tells us. I am so grateful for this opportunity to share my story. Sharing our stories is a gift because we are created by God to know one another and to be known by one another. And that doesn't just mean the things that we post on social media. We're called to do life together, sharing in both the beautiful parts, but also the hard and painful parts, because God works in both. And God is at work in all of our journeys. Sometimes we get caught up in the comparison and fear and shame and doubt, and we think, who are we to do God's work in the world? We're not equipped for that. But I want to remind you and proclaim the truth that God does not call the equipped. God equips the called. And we are all called to use our gifts and talents, through our actions and words and deeds, to reflect the light of Christ. Our gifts aren't the same. But if we use our gifts together for goodness, it'll have the properties of salt and light, enhancing, sharpening, and brightening the world. God calls each one of us. We'll all have different journeys, but it's my prayer that we would not hide our lights under a bushel, but rather let them shine, embracing who God created each one of us to be and reflecting the light and love of Jesus.
Been listening to the RPC Sermons podcast. Please let us know you're here by visiting roswellpress.org and signing our digital friendship register. May the grace and love of God be with you today and throughout the rest of your week. Thanks for listening.